listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill 90.7 FM.
I'm Rob Saffer. I create and produce Overlooked, a show for underplayed and overlooked music of all kinds. I'm also a dedicated WGXC listener. I love the other music shows, the news, and the better weather is the best. Because I listen, I pledge. I'm a sustaining supporter. Because community radio matters now more than ever. Go to WGXC.org/donate and donate. Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, for me, thinking about why supporting WGXC matters, like, yeah, we're here to provide content that we hope you enjoy. I hope you come back for.
Yay!
But also, like, just getting in the studio sometimes and being able to make whatever it is we got to make, you know, and not being too concerned about it being perfect, but just being ourselves. I feel like that's therapeutic a lot of times on a Friday after a long week.
For less than 70 cents a day or $20 a month, you could become a WGXC monthly supporter.
Please donate to WGXC to keep Catskill Cabin Getaway and all the other fantastic shows going.
Sustaining support is charged monthly to your credit card or PayPal account at any level you choose. It's a tax-deductible charitable contribution and very easy to cancel at any time. So to make a recurring donation or to make a one-time gift, go to wgxc.org/donate, or you can call 518-697-7400. 518-697-7400.
Anyway, if you are listening, you appreciate having different voices on the air than you typically hear, having young people who have built the radio show literally from the content to the music to how we introduce everything about it. The sound engineering, the tech, every little bit of it is done by young people at the clubhouse.
WGXC has served Greene and Columbia counties in New York for over 11 years, and I'm one of the programmers who started with the creation of the station in 2011. Keep community radio in the community.
Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
WayFarm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands WayFarm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanituck, the great ebb tide river also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
WaveFarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Miles and Pepper in Hudson, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Brendan J. Lyons in the Times Union claims that Governor Kathy Hochul is now meddling in the personal decisions of the state police unit that protects her, in similar ways to former Governor Andrew Cuomo. Hochul's office, the report says, recently pushed for the promotion of the newly appointed head of the Protective Services Unit. Before that, her office had a member put back on the detail after they were removed at the recommendation of a staff inspector. Lyons also cites confidential records and interviews with multiple people to back up his assertion. Lyons writes, and I quote, a former high-ranking state police official who spoke to the Times Union on the condition of not being identified said the requests by governors for someone to be promoted, reassigned, or demoted were almost always made by a top aide rather than a governor themselves, end quote. Avi Small, a spokesperson for Hochul, said, and I quote, all personnel decisions at the New York State Police are made by the superintendent, and we are aware that Acting Superintendent James has decided to make significant changes in top leadership positions. Acting Superintendent James and the men and the women of the New York State Police have Governor Hochul's full support, end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Spectrum News reports that in New York, candidates began collecting petition signatures on February 27th, even though the lines of those congressional districts have not been agreed upon. After rejecting a new map from the Independent Redistricting Commission, Democrats now must come up with their own map and then approve it soon before the June primary election. The Independent Redistricting Commission voted 9-1 earlier this month for a new map, after courts previously struck down several attempts to draw the congressional lines since the 2020 census. Read more about this story at Spectrum News. Mid-Hudson News reports that the Ulster County Housing Action Fund opens its first application window on March 11th and will accept applications until May 10th at 3 p.m. The $15 million fund requires housing units to remain affordable for a minimum of 50 years, with priority given to projects that keep the housing permanently affordable. The fund was approved last August by the county legislature to create more affordable housing units. Ulster County hosts a webinar at 6 p.m. on March 19th for information on the fund and the application process, with the address for the meeting is on the WGXC Newsroom website. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
We believe that we can get to agreement on these issues and prevent a government shutdown. And that's our first responsibility.
Speaker of the House Mike Johnson reportedly committed to trying to avoid a government shutdown at what's being described as an intense Tuesday meeting with President Joe Biden and other congressional leaders. But there are still questions about how to get there by Friday. Johnson says the border is a catastrophe and remains a top priority, while Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer wants aid for Ukraine.
But he can't say it won't do Ukraine until we get border. He's tried to do border for 6 months and couldn't come up with a single Democratic vote.
The Senate has passed a foreign aid package, including billions for Ukraine, after Republicans killed a bipartisan immigration deal at the instruction of former President Donald Trump. Johnson has refused to let the House take up the aid package. Following the Alabama Supreme Court's rule that embryos have the rights of children, Senate Democrats are backing nationwide protections for in vitro fertilization. Illinois' Tammy Duckworth, who has had children via IVF, is sponsoring federal protections for families who want fertility treatments.
After Roe v. Wade was overturned, actually, even before then, when Donald Trump promised to only appoint justices who would overturn it, I warned that red states would come for IVF. And now they have.
Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and Whip John Thune are calling for a Senate trial of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. The House passed Mayorkas' impeachment charges by a single vote in spite of objections from Democrats that he committed no high crime or misdemeanor. Thune insists the secretary's actions are a miscarriage of the law.
We ought to be conducting a trial in the United States Senate to determine, again, whether or not these are impeachable offenses.
It's expected Trump and Biden will win Michigan's presidential primary, but observers will be watching for protest votes. A large number of Democrats opposed to White House Gaza policy may vote uncommitted. Arizona GOP lawmakers want a ballot referendum to tighten immigration verification for independent subcontractors and make it harder for migrants to access public benefits. Some are drawing parallels with SB 1070, a controversial 2010 law some say led to racial profiling. Alejandra Gomez with Living United for Change in Arizona says they're ready for a fight at the ballot box.
We are not the Arizona of 2010. We are the Arizona of 2024, and this coalition is a powerful coalition, and we will not stand for the division and for the hate.
Finally, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre has a harsh reply to recent comments from Donald Trump about African Americans. The Republican frontrunner recently said blacks are starting to support him because they know what it's like to face four criminal trials. Jean-Pierre, who is black, calls that repugnant and divisive.
It is profane to compare the long, painful history of abuse and discrimination suffered by black Americans and to something that is totally different.
I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacific Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The 17-state Super Tuesday presidential primary is March 5th. In 10 of those states, if you haven't already registered to vote, you're out of luck. But thanks to same-day registration rules in 7 of those states, you can still register and vote on Election Day. Election Day or same-day registration is part of the 2002 Help America Vote Act, and several studies have found that states see a 3-7% boost in turnout where it's been implemented. Among the Super Tuesday states, Minnesota, Vermont, Maine, Virginia, Utah, Colorado, and California will allow you to register on Election Day, and most of those states allow registration during early voting. To register, you must provide ID and proof of domicile and citizenship to vote in Minnesota, Vermont, and Maine on a regular ballot. In Virginia, Utah, Colorado, and California, you may have to vote on a provisional ballot or sign an affidavit if you're missing a document. That vote may not count unless your registration can be verified. New residents, younger voters, students, new Americans, and less affluent voters are often users of same-day registration. Those demographics largely explain a rush by some state legislatures to make it harder to register same day by allowing only provisional ballots, adding strict domicile rules, or ending same day registrations altogether. We have details on Election Day registration and the rules for your state at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, February 28th. Local early morning temperatures range from 45 degrees in Medusa to 53 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 38 degrees. Today will be relatively warm again, but no one is going to notice because it will also be rainy all day long and winds will be gusty, especially this afternoon. Some people could see power outages, so charge everything up before leaving for work. We get a high of 59 degrees at 4 p.m. Gusts reach the 45-mile-per-hour mark by dark. Overnight, rains should come to an end by about midnight as temperatures plunge to 25 degrees. Some lingering snowflakes may be around for tomorrow morning's commute. Shouldn't amount to anything important. We get a high of 32 degrees at 4 p.m. and all precipitation should end by late afternoon. 24 degrees overnight takes us into a dry-looking Friday with a high of 49. Yes, the mercury does seem to bounce, at least metaphorically. Do not try that at home. Saturday looks a bit rainy all day with a high of 49. Sunset today will be at 5:29 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:28 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 10%. Plasma winds will be average at 408 kilometers per second with a thin density of 2 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently bad till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 103. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate, who are asking for some help over here at your favorite distraction from daily life, WGXC. Just head over to WGXC.org, and before you click on listen, try out the donate section. It's just as fun and twice as satisfying. We appreciate all of your support.
Let's begin.
You have 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Don't
Don't worry if you can't follow everything that is said.
Now repeat.
Welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jenny.
And we're a twice a month radio show here on WGXC, where we get on the air to talk about movies. We're going to tell you a little bit about what's playing in the theaters right around the area.
All right. I'm going to start us off by talking about what's playing at the Crandall Theater in Chatham. We have All of Us Strangers, and then coming up this weekend and beyond, The Taste of Things, The Boys in the Boat, Origin, Perfect Days, Babe, Poor Things, and The Teacher's Lounge. And if you're interested in any of those showtimes, you can go to crandalltheater.org.
Amazing. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. Oh, baby, we got Dune Part 2.
Oh, I forgot it's this weekend.
Yeah, it's this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Bob Marley, One Love, and Wonka is still there.
Wow.
You can find out more at WyndhamTheater.com. That's W-I-N-D-H-A-M theater.com.
All right. And now we're going to head a little further south to the Upstate Films locations, starting with the Star Cinema, which is the location in Rhinebeck. We have Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, The Taste of Things, Orlando, My Political Biography, The Teacher's Lounge, Simon with Special Guests, don't know who, but you will find out, mm-hmm. I bet, Robot Dreams, Perfect Days, The Night Visitors with director Michael Gitlin, and the Oscar-nominated documentary shorts and the Oscar-nominated live-action shorts. And then heading across the river to the Orpheum Theater, which is the location in Saugerties, we also have Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Dune Part 2, The Circulators by Glass Eye Shadow Pictures, Simon with Special Guests, still, again, director Thomas Piper and Special Guests, the Oscar-nominated documentary shorts, Drive Away Dolls, The Zone of Interest, American Fiction, and Hundreds of Beavers. A lot of movies out right now.
There are upstate. So many movies.
So if you're interested in any of those and you want more information about them, you should go to upstatefilms.org.
Amazing. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Spotlight Theater in Hudson, New York. We have Drive Away Dolls, Ordinary Angels, Land of Bad, Bob Marley, One Love, Madam Webb, Lisa Frankenstein, Argyle, and The Beekeeper. You can find out more by going to thespotlighttheaters.com.
All right. And now, last but not least, we're going to talk about what's playing at TSL, also known as Time and Space Limited. So this weekend, we have Painting the Modern Garden, Monet to Matisse, Anselm, Nostalgia, The Zone of Interest, Perfect Days, and hundreds of beavers. Hundreds of Beavers. I still haven't looked it up. One of these days, I will.
Yeah,
but
yep.
Not today. So if you're interested in any of those showtimes or other upcoming events at TSL, you can head on over to timeandspace.org.
Amazing. I have one more special thing to tell you about. So at the Avalon Lounge Catskill on the 28th of February,
Thursday.
There's going to be a screening of Phantom of the Paradise.
No, I'm sorry. The 28th is tomorrow, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oops.
Wow. That's so fun.
Oops. Yeah. So there's going to be a screening of Phantom of the Paradise tomorrow at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill.
Oh, fun.
So check it on out.
Oh, my gosh.
That's all I got for what's going on in the area.
Hey, this is Maria Manhattan. We're at WGXC on your FM dial 90.7. Or you may be streaming us, WGXC.org. We're happy to have you here. I have a song right now by Ella Mae Morris, and this goes out to the town of Catskill, just across the river.
Hey,
300 days is a long, long time to sleep. But Rip Van Winkle slept for 20 long years. Then he woke one day. Rip's red hair had turned to gray. Rip Van Winkle hurried back into town, but to his dismay, Rip's hometown had stopped to play. He found to his surprise a thing called Swing Was King, and he liked it. It opened up his eyes, and Drip, Rip got hip. Rip Van Winkle's wrinkles faded away, and he shared his beer. Rip's the rage since he reappeared. And if you want to swing and jive at the age of 95, start counting sheep and sleep like Rip Van Winkle. Liked it. It opened up his eyes, and Drip, Rip got him. Rip, Rip Van Winkle's wrinkles faded away, and he shared his beer. Rip's the rage since he reappeared. So if you were to swing and jive at the age of 95, start counting sheep and sleep like Rip Van Winkle. So be a drip, get a hip, take a tip from Rip Van Winkle.
Ella Mae Morris, don't be a drip, get hip, take a tip from Rip Van Winkle. You know, here at WGXC, of course, we serve both sides of the mighty Hudson River, and that means Columbia and Greene counties, and points much further afield thanks to the miracle of modern technology. We have people listening all over the world, just tuning us in on their computer, their phones, their iPads, whatever. And you know, you can help us out by becoming a sustaining member. Have you thought about that? It's a very cool way to contribute to the station. It's something that is pretty painless on your part, we'd like to think. If you're interested, just go to our website, wgxc.org, and click on donate, and you'll read all about it.
For our peace bucket, we're talking with Karen Cormell, who is Jewish Voice for Peace. Obviously, a lot of events are taking place not only here in the Capital District, but throughout the country and worldwide, continuing to try to stop the very bad situation in Gaza. So we asked Karen to give us sort of an update on what are some of the key things that are taking place here in the Capital District at the moment.
Yes, thanks, Mark, so much for having me. And, you know, as we speak today, we're over 140 days into a genocide, a U.S. and Israeli-led genocide against the Palestinian population in Gaza. We're seeing the death toll surge above 30,000 people, and of those, more than 14,000 are children. I read a statistic the other day that approximately 17,000 children are now orphaned. We know that about 10 children a day are having one or more limbs amputated, and many of these are taking place without anesthesia because anesthesia and medications have been very hard to get into Gaza. And of course, food. We're seeing now starvation, famine, particularly in North Gaza. It's very disturbing and very bleak.
You know, all the polls show widespread support, even among the Jewish community in the United States, for a ceasefire. Many countries have passed, resolutions calling for a halt. How do we actually get the United States and Israel to stop this situation?
I wish I knew the answer to that question, Mark. We saw a UN Security Council vote yet again recently, and the U.S. Rejected it, vetoed the resolution, and we saw an abstention from the U.K. The U.S. really stands alone on the world stage in supporting this horrific genocide. We see consensus across the globe from other countries. We just learned that Ireland has passed sanctions against Israel, and other countries are being more critical than they've ever been before. But the U.S. is the main obstacle to stopping this horrendous bloodshed at the moment. And so what we're trying to do is just put pressure on any and all pressure points. So whether that's political and contacting our officials, disrupting them whenever we can, making sure to raise this issue in every platform with our elected officials. JVP just had a statewide letter writing campaign to Senator Schumer and Gillibrand, where all letters were dropped in the mail on Monday, the 26th, listing lots of names and including photos of people who have been killed in Gaza. So we're hoping that those land on their desks and they have something in front of them that they cannot ignore, like they've been ignoring our phone calls for the past 5 months. But then another avenue is to really amp up the BDS campaign, which is the boycott, divestments, and sanctions campaign that Palestinian civil society called for back in 2005. This is like going on 20 years ago. Palestinians have been urging the international community to boycott Israeli products, to not work with Israeli institutions that support the occupation, like universities. It's also a cultural boycott, so not engaging with artists who are supportive of the occupation. And we're going all out on all avenues that are available to us, because this needs to stop. It needed to stop a long time ago, but it absolutely, every second counts when more and more lives are being destroyed by the minute.
Now, we're taping this on Monday afternoon, and just as we came on, I noticed, I believe, about 50 people, Jewish Voice for Peace, were arrested for protesting President Biden, I guess, was in New York City at the Rockefeller Center, beyond one of the late night talk shows. And there's certainly been a lot of, spin, a lot of the administration doesn't support what Israel is doing. Is there any sense that Biden or the Democratic Party, who seem to be throwing away possibly the reelection effort against Trump, are going to come to their senses on this issue?
I sure hope so, Mark. I don't know what the Democrats are thinking at this point. It's very, very scary. Tomorrow is Michigan's primary, and there is a large campaign to have folks vote uncommitted in that primary, because the large Arab and Muslim population in Michigan simply cannot bring itself to vote for someone who is taking their taxpayer dollars as Americans to kill their own family members in Gaza. It's unbelievable. At this point, I feel, and this is just me speaking, this is not as a representation of Jewish Voice for Peace, but I feel that the Democrats are only giving us someone to vote against and not giving us anything to vote for at this point. And I really don't know what the strategy is, but as far as I'm concerned, if Joe Biden does lose the election, he has himself to blame, and the Democrats have themselves to blame, and not the voting public, who is just cannot bring itself to vote for someone who is co-signing the wholesale slaughter of children.
Now, I understand that a number of the various groups who are pushing for a ceasefire are now holding weekly events throughout the Capital District. What are some of those main events that are taking place on a regular basis?
Yep. So we are holding, you know, large scale events. We are doing that in coordination with various global days of actions that are being put out there. But we also wanted to maintain a regular visible presence in the capital region. So for right now, we are kind of joining forces with Bethlehem Neighbors for Peace. They've had a demonstration at Four Corners in Del Mar. That's the intersection of Kenwood and Delaware Avenue. For years and years and years, they've been protesting there on Mondays at 4 p.m. So we're kind of joining with them to make sure that we have a visible presence for Palestine at those events. Then on Tuesdays at 4 o'clock, we are outside of the Federal Building in Albany. That's right across from the Palace Theater. And in Thursdays, we're at the corner of Balltown Road and Central Avenue in Schenectady, Niskayuna. And that's again, so it's 4 o'clock Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Monday is in Del Mar, Tuesday in Albany, and Thursday is in Schenectady.
So you mentioned that, you know, these events are taking place part to keep the issue visible locally. How has the local media been covering these ongoing protest about the situation in Gaza?
Well, they've been covering it hardly at all, which is really a disgrace. I mean, I know of one reporter who will not be named who has been trying to cover some of our events, but they cannot get the approval of their supervisors, which is really, really distressing and should be alarming to everybody who cares about a free press in this country. And also, I will say, Another station that will not be named that did give us some coverage when we became the first city in New York State to pass a ceasefire resolution, which is a huge deal. This was back in January 4th when the Albany Common Council passed a ceasefire resolution by an overwhelming majority, vote of 10-2. And we got a 45-second story on a local radio station, and the majority of those 45 seconds were dedicated to the one person who voted against that ceasefire resolution. There was another abstention. So the coverage has been pretty abysmal.
And I know that early on the group was pushing Congressman Tonko in particular to be more supportive of a ceasefire resolution, which I think he eventually at least provided some support. How is our congressional delegation both at the local level, of course, with Schumer and Gillibrand at the state level?
So Paul Tonko has been receptive to Jewish Voice for Peace and other Palestinian rights advocacy groups in the past. He has supported certain bills and resolutions that we've asked him to support in the past that have to do with, you know, the jailing of Palestinian children, for instance. So we approached him very early on, probably mid-October. I sat down and had a meeting with him, part of Jewish Voice for Peace. And then again, I had one in December with him and another group. And he has publicly stated that he is in favor of a ceasefire, which we appreciate. We absolutely do. However, he has not taken that extra step of really putting those words into action by signing any kind of legislation or proposing any kind of legislation. So while we appreciate that Paul Tonko is in favor of a ceasefire and has put out statements are important, but action is so, so important and so desperately needed right now. So we continue to push him to do more. You know, we've encouraged him to sign on to Cori Bush's resolution 786, which is calling for a ceasefire. And last time we spoke with him about why he hadn't supported that resolution, he said, well, it wasn't strong enough on the release of the Israeli hostages. I myself am an Israeli-American citizen. I grew up in Israel. And so, of course, the hostages, I care about them. I want them to return to their family. But by holding up a ceasefire resolution because of 100 hostages, and at this point we are down to about 100 hostages. We know several of them were killed in Israeli bombings. Several more have likely died of starvation and preventable diseases, just like the Gazans have because of the complete siege and starvation of Gaza. But by saying that you're going to hold up a ceasefire resolution for 100 Israeli lives, you are saying that you are willing to sacrifice 2.3 million Palestinian lives for those 100 Israeli lives.
We're out of time, unfortunately. If people want to look at Jewish Voice of Peace, go to the website.
Yeah, well, best way to follow us is on Instagram. It's JVP Albany. And I do also just want to plug that on Saturday, we are joining other organizations around the country in a day of action. It's called Hands Off Rafa. And there will be a protest in Troy at 11 a.m. March 2nd at Fulton and 3rd Street. And that's working in collaboration with Troy for Black Lives.
Thank you very much. I've been talking with Karen Cormelli, Jewish Voice of Peace, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk magazine.
Next, we have 2023 new music from Hudson musician Stephen Blum. He's got a full album coming out later in the year, but so far in 2023, he has released this song called Easter from Hudson-based musician Stephen Blum on the WGXC.
Exactly the way you are. Grow older and wiser, but stay exactly the way you are. I'm gracious to you. Glorious to me, and I feel more feelings than my little heart can hold. God bless you.
God keep you. God bless you. God keep you.
Hi, I'm Anthony Arion. I'm chair of the Alliance for Community Media of New York.
And I understand you're at the state legislature because there's a bill you're trying to get passed to provide some funding for community media?
Yes, that's correct. It's called the Community Media Reinvestment Act, and it's both in the Senate and the Assembly, S-2581 and A-5900.
And so what's, you know, how much money would it raise for community media? You know, what are the type of community media activities you would fund or the legislation would fund?
Well, it would fund community media and much more. About 40% of it would fund community media that exists or wants to exist. Another 40% would fund the local municipalities to help their local budgets. And the other 20% will help the New York State government administer that and just have some income for them.
Now, I remember in the Capital District over the years, there have been struggles with our local cable providers because normally as part of their franchise agreements, they're supposed to put up some funds to support community media operations. Usually it doesn't work out the way you want to do it. How is that type of franchise funding going for community media in New York State at the moment?
Well, that franchise fee income is declining quite fast, not only in New York, but everywhere. In Massachusetts, I'm on the Northeast Region Board. And the thing about it in New York State is that doesn't necessarily fund community media because it goes in the general fund. And what has happened in most places in New York State is nothing or almost nothing goes to community media. This bill would change all that.
So what is the extent of community media in New York State at the present moment? You know, are there particular hot spots or communities where it's doing well and other places where a little bit of a desert?
Well, sad to say, most of New York State is a desert. The only place that is really going strong is in New York City, where it started with George Stoney years ago, and a couple of select cities, and then a couple of small towns here and there, usually because there was somebody in that area that was technically savvy and said, look, I can do this for you, and they stepped up. But for the rest of New York State, they may not even know what they don't have, public education and government access, you know, your local meetings, you know, school board meetings, government meetings of all kinds, and your local events covered, like Massachusetts and Vermont and New Hampshire and Connecticut has.
So how would this actually raise, you know, funds for community media? And, you know, right now Governor Hochul has been quite vocal. She doesn't want any more taxes, and I'm sure she might describe this even despite its source as a new tax.
Well, here's what I have to say about that. There are 30 other states in the United States that are already taxing digital media. In the Northeast region, it's just New York and Massachusetts that haven't been taxing it, and Massachusetts has a bill very similar to this that they're working on very hard. The franchise fees has been only taxing one form of communication, the old dying cable system, and that's the only communications that is taxed, and that's kind of unfair. And it's time to get up with the times and equally tax everything and to make a portion of it. We're not asking for all of it like Massachusetts and Vermont does. We just need a portion of it to create jobs and to create our local media. And it makes perfect sense. And in terms of taxes, if you don't believe that community media or cable should be taxed, then we should be giving back all those franchise fees and say, you know, we shouldn't be taxing that. I don't see anybody wanting to return those millions. The rest of the country is saying, no, everybody should not only pay in this infrastructure and community media tax, everybody, no matter where you live, should be able to see your hyper-local information, your school board meetings, your town meetings, and have local coverage of your events.
So can you walk us through this, Bill? You're talking about digital media, so you know what digital media would be covered, what type of funds are we talking about raising, and then how would groups be able to, or municipalities be able to access such funds?
This bill taxes anything that isn't cable. So that can mean streaming, that is satellite. This is a comprehensive bill in New York, all of the media together, and any future means. So it covers anything other than cable that should be taxed the same rate that cable was all these years at 5%. What was the second part of your question?
How would groups be able to access the funds? So you know, once you raise the money, where does the money go?
In this bill, 40% of the money goes to the municipalities by population where it came from. Another 40% goes to community media if you have it or if you desire it. If you don't have it, that's fine. If this, nobody steps up, you know, you can have a nonprofit organization say, hey, we'll run all three. We'll run your public, educational, and government, and we can stream it. We can do anything with it. But you need the funds for the technology and for the personnel to do that. And the last 20% goes to New York State. And this is similar to the Massachusetts bill, so they can administer it and do whatever they need to do to monitor it. But it's the most fair way to spread the cost amongst all the telecommunications entities and not just the cable box. Because those same companies that had cable, they are avoiding paying that tax by the franchise fee by doing all-in-one streaming boxes over the internet, and those have not been taxed. Under this bill, that would be taxed too. So maybe they wouldn't be in such a hurry to kill cable, but we can see where this is all going. There's more bandwidth in other methods than the old cable system through internet and satellite and in the future probably cell tower.
Now, you said that other states, many states already have some form of this. How has that worked out in other places?
In terms of their income, I think that you asked me what kind of income would we expect. Think of if you know your local budgets and how much franchise fees income that you have lost over the years for the income line of your town, you'd get that back and a little more. Plus, that's for community media. Plus, you'd get that amount again added to your general fund. So this will help people's local property taxes. And if it helps keep local property taxes down, then it will help keep rents down. But if you let the franchise fees just go away, where's that extra revenue going to come from to pave the roads? It's going to come out of the property owner's pockets. So you have your choice. You can tax equally all of the telecommunications companies, or you can put it on the consumer.
Has this bill been pending previously in the New York State Legislature, and what have been some of the arguments in favor or opposition to it?
Well, I haven't heard any. This is the first time that it's been introduced. Some people think that it's going to be a I think that's my phone. Hang on. I meant to say, if this bill doesn't pass, it will go to, you know, the property owners and onto their local tax rather than onto the telecommunication companies. And now, before my phone rang.
So what's the opposition been? You know, what's the lack of the bill passed in the state legislature? What's the argument?
I think the only argument I've heard was, is this going to just raise the consumer's cost of this? And we actually have a revision in the bill that will disallow being able to pass through this onto the consumer. And according to our expert, Dr. Lee Shaker, it would be very hard for them to do that because there is a set rate that all the streamers charge. So that would have to be a countrywide thing. So that wouldn't happen in New York. So, and the other revision that we put in the bill was to help areas that are not served by cable because they don't have enough homes per linear mile. under this bill, you could use the community media portion for extra purposes of adding poles or putting a satellite sublink or anything else you need to do to get to the most rural areas all your local information.
So we're out of time. Once you just can you just give me your name, the organization, and the webpage.
I'm Anthony Arion, Alliance for Community Media of New York, and our website is www.acmny.org.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
So you like the better weather?
I love the better weather. I know, I'm like a little fanboy. Right? Yeah.
Well, the better weather is performed by me and Cassandra. Cassandra is a program I created.
Got it. Yeah.
She data scrapes the internet.
Right. I figured. Yeah.
I basically start my coffee and I get Cassandra rolling. Mm-hmm. She downloads all sorts of data from different NOAA servers, different government servers, compiles them into parts of the script. But a lot of it, I have to work over the data and go, no. There's going to be fog because this is that and
precipitation and all that. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Most forecasts are for like Albany or New York City or points of major cities, and they're trying to get everybody.
Yeah.
I just got to nail the Twin Counties.
Right.
It's easier for me to get lucky, and that's all we do. As you know, weather forecasters, we just get lucky.
Yeah, I love that.
And
I
it's exactly what you said, the Twin Counties. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Twin Counties.
That's great. I mean, I tried. Once in a while, I cover a little bit beyond. I'm not exactly sure how far our signal reaches. I know parts of Massachusetts can hear us.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
I try to include them sometime, but quite honestly, they're in the average. Our area usually has temperatures and stuff lower and higher than theirs.
Yeah, we fluctuate a lot more. Yeah.
Mountains and the river.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
So you said you created this program. Is it legal?
Oh, yeah, 100%. All the data sources are government.
Right. Public data.
Your taxes are already paid for.
Right.
So this is free.
Okay.
And to be fair, all the other news sources, they're accessing the same data.
Oh.
Right.
So they're just making the same predictions and their own silly little graphics off of the same amount of data. So I just put it directly to it. And it's most of my information comes from the New York State Mesonet. It is a live sensor network cast across the state that was put in place by the University of Albany.
Okay.
And it covers everything like rainfall temperature, soil temperature. Just like yesterday, we were expecting rain to roll through.
It did.
Did you see it fall? Did you see any of it?
No, I got rain.
Baker, it did a little bit.
Yeah, we got a little rain.
See,
I'm in Cloud Rock. I got a little rain.
Okay. You see, that's where I was getting reports from all my friends that it was in little tiny spots, but it wasn't even showing up on the sensors because it was so sporadic. It wasn't a major coverage.
Mm.
But
yeah, it wasn't.
But yeah, it's perfectly legal. Everything is on the up and up.
Okay, that's
and
good to hear.
As a matter of fact, once in a while, I only got a couple minutes in the morning, but once in a while, I'll stop and tell people my sources, like spaceweather.com, NOAA.gov, pollen.com.
You give Cassandra the credit as well?
Once in a while.
And why is she named Cassandra?
Because Cassandra is from the myth of Troy, and she was the one given powers to predict the future that no one listened to.
That's right. She was blind, right?
Yep.
That's right. That's
and
right.
No one listened to her.
That's right.
But she knew the future.
That's right.
So that's what I feel like sometimes.
That's what's
good.
Up. That's what's
really
up.
Good.
I love that. Thank you.
Thank you for asking.
No, that's genius.
Ah, honey, you want to head upstate to Hudson? Check out the hubbub and the hot scene going on up there?
Oh, I don't know, dear. I really love it down here in Scarsdale, New York, and I have a lot of gardening and flower beds to do.
Oh, dear. Let's get up there. Let's see what those 20-somethings are up to. They're so hungry, I love throwing them the blueberry muffins from the Escalade when we drive by.
Oh, that is good sport. You're right, honey. Let's go up the Taconic to check on the 20-somethings in Hudson. None of them have jobs. Let's turn on the radio. Oh, there's nothing here. I usually hear that left-wing communist radical lesbian radio station WGXC. I don't hear it anymore. Honey, what do I do?
I don't know, honey. Try the other band. Try the different band.
Oh, it's not coming in here either. Something's wrong. I hope they're okay. Please, get into my wallet and get the credit card.
Yeah, let me get that credit card. Oh, here's a credit card, honey.
Oh, yes, send them some money immediately. Send them money so they can stay on the air. I love their diverse programming.
Yeah, I do, too. I love that show that plays that music from faraway lands.
Oh, honey, we've got to get up there and help them immediately.
WGXC 90.7. We're here if you're here.
Next up, we hear 2020 new music from Bobby Previtt, Jamie Saft, and Nels Klein. Bobby Previtt is a composer and percussionist based in the Hudson Valley. The album from 2020 is called Music from the Early 21st Century. This is the first track, Photobomb, from Bobby Previtt, Jamie Saft, and Nels Klein.